Thank you so much, Des. Our scripture reading today comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. We boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. A few weeks ago, I was in a Bible study, and we were studying this passage from Romans, and immediately it brought to mind to me my friend Jenny, who was just wrapping up walking across the country of Spain on a pilgrimage. And I thought, this is exactly what she's bearing witness to, this chain from suffering to endurance to character to a hope that does not disappoint. And I immediately said a prayer for her as she finished that journey. And a few days later, I think it was, Jenny had the fortune or misfortune to post on Facebook triumphantly, probably still in the glow of finishing this amazing journey, these words. She said something to the effect of, I finished it. I did it. If anybody needs a motivational speaker, I'm ready to hit the road. Now, if you know Jenny at all, she is not somebody who is prone to want to do public speaking. In fact, she is the last person who would ever say on Facebook, I want to do some motivational speaking. And so I knew it had to be the Holy Spirit at work. Jenny has probably regretted that post 100 times since then, because she told me she intended it to be a joke. But in no time, I began praying even harder that Jenny might say yes as we asked her to share her journey today. I think you will hear in her story echoes of this same promise from Scripture, that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Our second scripture reading today comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, and is one of Jenny's favorites and mine. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So just keep telling yourself that, Jenny, in the next 15 minutes or so. Thank you.
So like Amy said, my name is Jenny Christopher. I've been a member of this church for about 6 years. Most of the involvement would be with the children. I am trying to come downstairs more to get to know most of y'all. Like Amy said, you probably saw my name on the prayer chain this summer in June and July. It's because I embarked on a journey across Spain. And before, I guess everybody was always asking me, well, how was it? And I was like, oh, it was great. I had fun. But really couldn't get into a lot of detail. And also, I just hadn't really processed it all. So then when Amy came to me and said, would you give the faith IRL? At first, I was like, yeah, I got this. And like Amy said, now closer time, I'm like, oh, maybe I don't, but we'll see how it goes. So actually, in February 6th of 2018, so a little over a year ago, I was scrolling through Facebook when I ran across a post from a friend. She was saying she was interested in participating in a thing called the Camino de Santiago and wanted to know if anyone wanted to do it with her. I decided to Google exactly what is the Camino de Santiago and found that the Way of St. James, or otherwise known as the Camino de Santiago, is a pilgrimage to the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela in northwestern Spain. Well, that didn't really help me if I decided if I wanted to do it or not, so I kept researching and found out that there are many routes, but the most popular was an 800-kilometer walk from St. John, France to Santiago, Spain. You can complete these 800 kilometers on foot or bike or by horse. Well, considering I don't have a horse, and I don't have a bike, I guess I'll do it by foot. There are many reasons why pilgrims choose to embark on this journey, but the main one is religious and spiritual. How hard could walking 800 kilometers or 500 miles be? I immediately messaged my friend and said I was interested and couldn't wait to start planning. I didn't sleep that night before because I was doing research on what my summer of 2018 was going to consist of and listening to the song 500 Miles by the Proclaimers way too many times. Unfortunately, something would happen the next day that would crush any summer 2018 dream I would have. I'm a school teacher, and a shocking, violent incident in my classroom ended up with me in the emergency room. I remember the doctor putting the boot on my foot and stitching up my leg, and I just started crying. The person who was with me asked what was wrong, and I said, I'm sad I can't walk 500 miles this summer. I'm sure she thought I was crazy. In the coming weeks, I couldn't stop thinking about it, but I knew that it was out of the question and decided to work on another dream because there was no way this could happen. Little did I know that God had other plans and would soon open the door that I had closed. My friend decided she needed more time to raise money for a Spain adventure and asked me if I would still be interested in doing it if we put it off till summer of 2019. I immediately said no because up to this point I had decided that God had obviously was giving me a sign and that I shouldn't be doing it, and who was I to go against God's signs? She said she was going to do it, but we didn't need to commit till the first part of 2019 when we would have to book the flight. She suggested I take time to think and pray about it and give her an answer in January. I spent the rest of 2018 going through phases where I'd want to do it, change my mind, and so on and so forth. Finally, in January of 2019, I took a leap of faith and booked my trip, and there was no turning back. Due to the schedule conflicts of when my friend had to be back and when I could not get there, when my friend had to be back and when I could get there due to school getting out, we would not be able to complete the full 500 miles. It was planned that we would start in Burgos, Spain, which was 496 kilometers or 304 miles from the end. All you have to do is the last 100 kilometers to receive the certificate, but Burgos seems like a pretty place to start. I spent the first part of the year preparing for my grand adventure. This included finding the right backpack, finding the right shoes, breaking in these shoes, hiking every chance I got, tracking my steps on Fitbit, babysitting, tutoring, working sporting events to raise money, and even doing a 4:45 workout class every day to maybe help me become nicer in the mornings. The weeks leading up, I received a checklist from the American Pilgrims of the Camino organization, and I made sure I completed everything off this checklist. Even this meant having our fabulous pastors come to my work to pray over me before I left. But I was ready. Driving to the airport, that's when the nerves hit. Tears were shed saying bye to my parents. Here I was going to a country all by myself and not knowing the language. It was the fear of the unknown. I would embark on the journey by myself for the first part, as my friend had started from the beginning, but we would soon meet up. Because I had already booked a flight when this was decided, I had 5 days to spend in Madrid. I arrived at the hotel, and having the lady at the reception desk not speak a word of English, I realized that maybe I wasn't prepared as I thought I was. These 5 days were filled with me attempting to get by with very little Spanish, going to McDonald's every chance I could so I could use the kiosk in English, finding tours of popular attractions that were in English, and laying in my hotel room FaceTiming friends back home just so I could talk. I know you think I'm quiet, but those 5 days not talking to anybody was really hard. I know that God was watching over me, and thankfully the day arrived that I would meet up with my friend who speaks fluent Spanish. I took a train to Burgos, and timing worked out perfect, that I met up with my friend along with 3 other people. When I arrived at the hostel, I received my pilgrim's credential, or your pilgrim's passport. Although the group had walked 12 miles that day, they took showers, and it was off to find food and explore the Burgos Cathedral, where I admired all the stained glass. The next day, Sunday, June 15th, the day I'd been waiting for finally came. The alarm went off at 5:30. I didn't sleep much that night due to sleeping in a room with 40 people, with all their movement, people snoring, and realizing that people in Spain never sleep. So the community was having a giant party right outside our hostel, but the excitement was giving me energy. I got up, packed up my backpack, took off the bed bug mattress cover, laced up my walking boots, grabbed my hiking poles, and I was ready to go. They told me we would be walking 31 kilometers, which is 19 miles. It was their longest day yet, but I had a pep in my step, a smile on my face, and I was ready to go. The first few miles consisted of us redoing Christmas songs like the 12 Days of the Camino and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Pilgrim, and joking that we could make a Camino Christmas album. I wondered if I was going to get this delirious. We stopped at a shop where I got my shell that's given to a pilgrim on their first day to symbolize the start of their journey. We stopped for lunch and took off our shoes to let our feet breathe. I could feel that I was getting tired but knew that I had 9 miles left to go, so I just sucked it up and continued. We stopped for an afternoon break 7 kilometers from our hostel, and I was physically and mentally ready to be done. My feet hurt, and my backpack was way too heavy, which was making my hip hurt, but we continued on our final leg. As I was walking, I saw 2 older men taking a break under a tree. I had taken it easy and slower than the rest of the group, so everyone was far ahead of me. I continued walking, but soon realized that I hadn't seen a yellow arrow, which were the arrows that would show us the way, or any of my group in a while, and all I saw was grassy plains for what seemed like miles, and no town in sight. I was tired and out of water, and although I knew I only had 1 or 2 kilometers left, there was no way I could go any further. I found a rock, sat down, and cried. I prayed to God to let me sprain my ankle or break my arm that I could go home. And if anybody knows me, that's not out of the question. This is not what I signed up for. I knew that I would disappoint people if I had stopped, and more importantly, myself, but at this point, I really didn't care. If I had had internet, I probably would have booked a flight home that day. After a while, the 2 older men walked past me and noticed that I was crying. One of the men came and crouched to my level and started speaking to me in Italian. At this time, I thought it was Spanish, so I kept saying, no comprende, English, no comprende, English. Finally, he put his hands out and said five words that changed my pilgrim experience. He said, let go, I have you. Looking back, I think he meant to say, let's go. But looking at him, I was immediately given a sigh of relief and comfort, and the tears stopped. I realized that at that moment, I needed to let go of my fears, complaints, and worries, and trust that the Lord would get me through. I had prepared physically and mentally for this adventure and had other people pray over me, but I hadn't taken the time to pray for myself, and I had just prayed to get hurt. Looking back, it would have been terrible for me to sprain my ankle or break my arm because we were out in the middle of nowhere. It wasn't like a car was going to drive past and get me. If I had gotten hurt, I would have had to walk, hurt until I reached the next town, which would have even been worse. I got up, and the man who I found out was named Bruno grabbed my backpack and put it on his back and carried it the rest of the way. Bruno and his friend Tony were from Italy. Thankfully, Bruno spoke a little English, and words he didn't understand, he had a translator on his phone. We continued to walk slowly until we met up with my friends who had been worried that something had happened to me, and the seven of us walked to our hostel. They say if you can get through the first 3 days, you can get through the rest of the journey. For the next 3 days, I would see Bruno on the trail, and he was at our hostel every day when I arrived. Every time he saw me, he would make sure that I was okay and ask me how my journey was going. Due to his schedule, he was planning on getting to Santiago faster than we were, which meant we never saw him again. You'd meet people along the way that had such an impact on you, and you would develop intense relationships, and then you would never see them again. The people you meet on the Camino are unlike any sort of people that I've ever met. If you were on the side of the trail treating a blister, which I was quite frequently, or just taking a break, people would come up to you and check on you, asking if you wanted them to look at your injuries and give you advice or give supplies if you needed them. In return, if I saw someone on the side of the trail, I would make sure they were okay. At night, you would see people doctoring other people's injuries if they had just met, and you would hear trade deals like, hey, I'll give you a Claritin for some gauze and tape. I met people from all over the world. We met people from South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Philippines, France, England, Italy, Brazil, and lots of people from around the United States. Numerous ages were represented in all walks of life. We met mother-daughter pairings, husband-wives, friends, whole family, and much more. Because there are many different languages on the Camino, you would say Buen Camino to people passing by, and everyone understood that you were wishing them a good and well hike or journey. Once you said it to them, they would say it back. I had brought two sets of headphones on my trip with two sets of headphone jacks. Within the first 3 days, I had already broken the two headphone jacks, bought a new one, had broken that one, and bought just one more and broken that one as well. I finally realized that I was not meant to have headphones, and instead of listening to music, I spent the rest of the time meeting and talking to new people. I know, what a shock. Listening to nature, taking in surroundings, taking pictures to post for my fans on Facebook, and praying and talking to God. It was interesting how close you get to people, sharing each other's faith stories, and listening to each other's reasons on why you wanted to do the Camino. I had long discussions with a missionary from Chicago, and we would pray with each other every single day. Normally, I would feel super intimidated to do this, but it just came so natural. Like I said before, though, I am not a morning person, but I soon found myself purposely leaving breakfast before the rest of the group so I could be outside and walking before the sun came up. I enjoyed turning on praise music and having it quietly play in the background while watching the sunrise and listening to the nature wake up. I heard birds chirping, roosters making their morning noises, and even road mice coming out of their holes and scampering across the trail. Since being back, I have woken up a few times to enjoy the sunrise from my porch, spending time reflecting on my Camino experience or reading part of a devotional, hoping this continues once school starts, and for my students' sakes, maybe I'll be nicer. Before I left for my trip, I had friends and family fill out blank note cards with either a Bible verse, motivational quote, or a letter to me. Every morning, I would read one of each. I would spend the day reflecting on the Bible verse and motivational quote and trying to figure out why the person had chosen it. Throughout the day, if I needed a little motivation, I would remember the quote or verse, and it would help me to keep trekking. After doing this a few days, my friends wanted to participate. In the morning at breakfast, I would pick a card that had a motivational quote and one that had a Bible verse, and they would write them down, take a picture of them, or just try and remember it. I kept the other letters to myself, as those were personal, but then again, maybe they needed to hear, "I hope you don't sprain your ankle," or see the artwork drawn by the children in my life. At the end of the day, we would sit at dinner and reflect on our day of what we called roses and thorns. Roses was something that went well or something we enjoyed, and thorns was something that didn't go so well. It was at this time that if we weren't feeling good or had any soreness or blisters, that we would share, and this allowed us to check in on each other in the next few days. We would talk about how the motivational quote related to our day and what we thought the Bible verse meant or what we should take from it. We would look it up and read the surrounding verses to better understand. People kept commenting that they thought it was cool to see a group of six 20-something-year-olds spending time every day doing a mini Bible study. On day 3 of my adventure, I developed a blister on my second toe. Getting advice from one of the guys in our group who had plenty of experience with blisters, we did everything we could in hopes that it wouldn't get bigger. But unfortunately, as the days passed, the worse it got. In Spain, you can't buy any sort of medicine at a regular grocery store, but instead you have to go to pharmacy and talk to the pharmacist. On day 7, when we got to Lyon, we found a pharmacy to stock up on gauze, bandage, and ibuprofen. It was there that I showed the pharmacist my toe, and he said that I had developed a pretty bad infection and would ultimately lose my toenail. I'm also not going to tell my mom, but he did suggest me stopping the trip, but that's little details. He suggested putting a certain medicine on it multiple times a day and wrapping it away from the others so that it wouldn't spread to the other toes. Although it was painful, he reassured me that once the toenail fell off, it would be so much better. I just had to get there. Looking back, this was the theme of the whole trip. I followed his directions to a T, and 3 times a day, I would take off the old wrapping, put new medicine on, and rewrap it. It was during this time that I would notice a tattoo that I have on my ankle that says Phil 4:13, and in my head, I would recite, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." There were a lot of mornings that I'd wake up sore and think, well, if I just skip today, I'll walk more tomorrow, or well, I don't need to be done when everyone else is done, so I could take a rest day. But by seeing that verse and remembering the virtue of perseverance, it would get me through. Finally, on the afternoon of day 19, I lost my toenail, and all the pain on my toe went away. We finished on day 20. One of the biggest milestones of the Camino is reaching the Iron Cross, which is a monument located on the highest point of the Camino. It is a tradition that you bring a small rock or stone from home that represents a burden that you carry. Once you reach the Iron Cross, you lay it at the foot of the cross, and it's to represent the new you. A few days before we reached it, I had been thinking about and praying about the burden that my rock represented and finally felt at peace and decided to leave my rock that day because I didn't feel the need to carry that burden for 2 more days when I was ready to let go of it then. So although I did not partake in this tradition, it was such a group-building experience to hear what others were leaving at the cross. Although our group was already close, I feel like we got much closer that day. Reaching Santiago is an experience I will never forget. You reach the city limit sign, but still have 5 more kilometers till you reach the cathedral, which is the official end point. Normally, the last 5 kilometers of every day was my least favorite because you're tired and just ready to take a shower and be done or go explore the city that you're staying in. But this 5K was different. We were excited. We had planned to stop right at the city limit sign that night and then walk the last 5K early the next morning so we could get to the pilgrim's office before the crowd arrived and hopefully not have to wait in line for our certificate. But we were way too excited to end the day at 2 o'clock and knew that we wouldn't be able to just sit around the hostel patiently knowing that we were almost to the finish line. We decided to push forward and finish Friday, July 5th instead of Saturday, July 6th. We walked the last 5K as a group, laughing, singing, and chatting. Walking down the stairs right before the cathedral, there were people cheering on the stage, on the steps, and bagpipes were playing. I could feel the tears starting to form. As we turned the corner, I saw the cathedral. I couldn't hold them anymore, and I just started bawling, somewhat of that ugly, happy cry. The friend who I'd started this whole journey with ran up to me and gave me a hug, and we just held each other saying, "We did it." I looked up at the sky, and all I could say was thank you. I think we were in complete shock. You worked so hard to get to this place, and despite the injuries, pains, and little disagreements we may have had as a group, we did it, and we did it together. I think we were all in shock as we just stood there and stared at the cathedral. People that we had met and seen along the way came up and hugged us and gave us high fives. After taking group photos and individual pictures at the cathedral, we laid down on the sidewalk, took our shoes off, and just watched other people come in. We FaceTimed our families back home and put on Facebook and shared our accomplishments. After a while, we headed to the pilgrim's office and received our Compostela, or the official completion certificate. Although it's in Latin and we have no idea what it says, we know that it represents a journey of a lifetime. So if anyone knows Latin, please help me translate it. After spending a few days as a group in Santiago, it was time to say our goodbye and head our separate ways. In 20 days I knew these people, you become so close. My fondest memories were the nights that we would sit outside as a group with other people from the hostels, and one person would play the guitar, and we would just sit and sing and enjoy ourselves. In the last 10 years, I've been nervous to sing in front of other people in that small of a group, but during this time, I would sing at the top of my lungs and not worry about who heard me or even if I knew the correct words. Our now group of 6 had grown to become a little family, and each of them taught me something that I'll remember for the rest of my life. I have a cross wall at home that's filled with crosses, each representing a certain event that's happened, and filled with crosses from special people, each one with a note on the back. After searching for a few days in Santiago, I found the perfect cross, and each person wrote a note on the back, and it now proudly hangs on that wall for me to see every day. I finished my journey in Spain by spending 5 days in Barcelona by myself before flying back to Texas. These 5 days were much different than my 5 days at the start. I was more confident in my Spanish speaking and understanding abilities, and proud to say that I did not eat any McDonald's. This journey has taught me that I can do anything I set my mind to. Every year, I spend a month teaching my students the virtue of perseverance and determination, and I'm excited to share my journey with them. I have been known to come to a challenge in life and immediately try and take the easier road or give up and change the task completely. Walking 304 miles is the hardest thing I've ever done, and I know that if I can accomplish that, I can accomplish anything. I have found a new sense of confidence, and believe me, there is no way I would have gotten up here and spoken in front of y'all before this. This journey wasn't always easy, but it was easier knowing that I had an awesome group of pilgrims by my side, a supportive group back home praying and cheering for me, and it definitely strengthened my relationship with God. In life, there are yellow arrows that point us in the right direction, but it's our job to find them. There'll be people that will come into our lives, make a huge impact, yet may not stay around, but everyone's on a journey. So I wish you all a great journey, or as we said in Spain, buen camino.